In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you've got my soul. You alone are the anchor when the sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. Shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Mm-hmm. us? Who could ever stop us? If our God is with us, what could stand against? And if our God is for us, who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, what could stand against? Stand against.
Can see the waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations crying out. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can children singing out, we will not be overtaken, we will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commanded them to wake, lives in us. The same power that can guard the raging sea, lives in us.
Bailey to come and help us to lead this next hymn. He's moving that around a little bit.
But the blood of Jesus.
Come to fight. Adore you.
night was holding on to me. God, you're holding on. When the night is holding on, still holding on, you are good. Exalt to the Lord. Lord, I just pray for those who are watching with us today, that you would just reach out in their homes, or if they're at work, or if they're in their on break, Lord, or maybe listening through the radio in their cars, Lord. I just pray that you just send your Holy Spirit right now, just right now. You can go beyond where man can go and do only the things that you can do, Lord. Lord, just thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your healing touch, Lord. Thank you for the news about Marie Ludwig, Lord. Thank you that she is COVID safe, Lord, that you are healing her. Thank you, Lord, for taking her from isolation back to her normal room. Lord, thank you for that, Lord. We're praising with Lori right now and the church. That is good news, Lord. We thank you for all our elderly our families and church members, Lord, that you are keeping safe during this time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for healing those that we know that have gone through COVID, Lord, and that you've healed them in their back on the men, Lord. Thank you for that. The unspoken request that's come in for COVID, Lord. Thank you for good reports and Lord, for negative test results. Thank you for that, Lord. And I just want to thank you that we're going to get back into meeting together in a few weeks, Lord. We don't know how it's going to look and drive in church or how it's going to work, Lord, but we know and we trust in you that you have everything in control. And Lord, we're going to get our manipulative hands out of the way and let you do your work, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen. Amen. Lord, I do praise you and thank you for your blessings, for your provision, for your safety, for your love, grace, and mercy. Father God, every moment of every day, Lord, you refresh us and renew us, shower us with your love. Lord, help us to keep our eyes focused on you. Help us to walk with you. Lord, I pray that you would guide us and direct us in absolutely everything that we do, that we would please you with all of our heart and bring you praise and honor and glory. Thank you, Father God, for your blessings. Speak to us now. Fill every living room, every facility, every place that somebody is listening or hearing this message. Lord, I just pray that you would touch hearts and minister to people. Lord, that your word would go forth and speak to each person that it needs to speak to. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, believe it or not, we are almost right in the middle of 2020. If you go by weeks, there's 52 weeks in a year, and this is the start of week number 25. So we are almost halfway through this new year. So I thought I'd ask how many of us are enjoying this new decade so far. Yeah, I didn't think so. So far, it's certainly not been the year that any of us were planning on, I'm sure. In fact, on a global scale, the memory of this year to date is not very pleasant. Let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about. The worst brush fire ever destroyed a vast portion of land in Australia. It took over 6 months to finally bring those fires to an end, and that didn't occur until earlier this year. There was the downing of the Ukrainian jet liner that killed all on board. Excuse me, devastating floods in Indonesia caused about 400,000 people there to flee their homes. Riots in Delhi tragically took the lives of 53 people. A volcanic eruption in the Philippines sent ash and hot lava spreading throughout the region and caused them to close the nation's largest airport. Earthquakes have shaken Turkey and the Caribbean. A 7.7 magnitude earthquake rocked the Caribbean at the end of January, sparking tsunami warnings as far away as Florida. Largest such earthquake there since 1946. Locust swarms have wreaked havoc in East Africa. Billions of locusts have devoured crops in the matter of minutes, disrupting an already short food supply. There was a gas plant explosion in Nigeria in March. It was so strong it leveled almost 50
buildings. Then there's this devastating thing called the coronavirus that has swept our globe. Add to that some of the more tragic information we've received about the death of George Floyd and the rioting and looting that that has sparked over the last few weeks. And mind you, that has not just been here in the U.S., but it has caused rioting overseas as well. I don't think any of us could have imagined that this would be how our new decade would start. Do you remember what we did at the beginning of this year, the first Sunday we were together in January? As a church, we renewed or reviewed our commitment to Christ. In fact, we recalled a sermon from January of 2019 where we committed our lives to Christ for the new year. We said, individually and corporately, we said that He was going to be our priority, that He would be the foundation on which we built our lives for the new year ahead of us and for all time thereafter. We talked about counting the cost, specifically the cost of becoming a disciple. We said we wanted to be able to look back over the year once it was complete and recall all the incredible things that God had done in us and through us. So here we are, halfway through a crazy year so far. How do you think we're doing in regards to our commitment to Christ? In the midst of all of this craziness, in the midst of this pandemic, are we growing closer to God? Are we different than we were? Have we discovered anything that we need to change? There's no question that the world stage has an incredible amount of chaos on it so far. And I'm sure there are portions of that we would all love to change. But what about us personally? Halfway through the year, in the midst of a global crisis, are there adjustments we need to make personally? Have we discovered anything in these 6 months in this new year that we need to change? I know something has come to light for me. I can tell you that much. Now, there's no question it affects me personally, but I don't believe that I'm alone in this either. When I reflect on all these different events so far in 2020, quite honestly, some things I don't even remember hearing about when they occurred. But when I think about them, and I think about all the different lives that have been changed forever because of what's happened so far this year, I've discovered that I am much more self-centered than I ever thought I was. Let me give you some examples. Maybe chew on this a little bit. The Australian fires that I talked about earlier, have any of us given any thought to the 27 million acres that were destroyed by that fire? Or the estimated 1 billion animals that died? Have we stopped to think about any of those other disasters and any of the effect that they have had on other people? Probably not. Most likely we are much more focused on our own nation and what is going on here. So let's bring it home. Let's talk about our own nation for a minute and maybe some things that are closer to us personally. when this pandemic started, when we first heard about the coronavirus and everything that was going on with it, how many of us went out and overbought at the beginning of the pandemic? Were we thinking about anybody else when we stocked up on all that toilet paper and hand sanitizer and Lysol and wipes? Did we care about anybody else's needs? Or were we only thinking about ourselves? Do we stop to think about all the different people across our nation who are on ventilators still today? Well, we're adjusting our air conditioner to make things a little bit more comfortable in our homes. How many of us are concerned about all those essential workers that are out there, quite honestly, risking infection every single day? How many of us think about them more than we think about the little bit of a wait we might have standing in line in front of the store we want to get into? Speaking of lines, how many of us are willing to wait what seems like forever in line just to get our coffee fix? But we're unwilling to stand in line patiently for a little while to check out at Walmart or whatever store we're in. Do we spend more time complaining about what stores are open or closed? Or do we think about all the employees that are not working because of those closed stores? Have we ever asked ourselves, where do our rights stop and someone else's rights start? Just a few thoughts about how we process and think about things. And I know you're probably sitting there thinking right now, and to a degree you're right, we can't fix all the different problems in the world. You're right. We can't fix everything or make it correct. COVID has certainly shown us that, if nothing else. Many things are simply outside of our control. But has it taught us to think more about how things around us affect others and not just ourselves? Does it open up our mind a little bit? Let's be very honest for just a second this morning. Until a couple weeks ago, I'd venture to say that absolutely none of us ever knew who George Floyd was. But today, we are all affected by how one man, one human being, treated another human being. At the core of all of that is self-centeredness. If anything has jumped out to me in the first half of this year, it's how selfish some of us are without even realizing it. We do things, we make decisions every single day without ever thinking about how they may affect someone else. Just a couple of weeks ago, as we were talking about wisdom and working our way through Proverbs, we talked about the golden rule. Treat others like you want them to treat you. How incredibly important it is for us to start thinking more about that command these days. And yes, that is a command to treat others that way. Jesus himself told us that. When he was asked about the greatest commandment, he replied that the greatest is to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And the second greatest command is to love your neighbor as yourself. Or as Luke 6:31 records Jesus saying, do to others as you would have them do to you. If we could learn to be a little bit more thoughtful of others and a little less consumed with ourselves, think about how much positive change that would bring to the world around us, even to our own personal lives. Think about how each person around us would be affected by our selflessness if we would stop to think about them, if we would put them first instead of ourselves. There's lots of different scriptures we can look at, a lot of different verses that talk about selfishness. And again, it's a trait that many of us carry, even though we don't think we do. We wouldn't consider ourselves as selfish, yet the decisions we make and the actions we take look more like that than we realize. There's a reason Scripture talks so much about selfishness, because it's a bigger problem than we think it is. You know, selfishness goes against everything that the world has taught us. The world would simply say to look out for yourself at all costs. The world would say take care of yourself because no one else will. But Scripture tells us differently. Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with his spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. I think that leaves little question for us that we are called to look past our own wants and our own desires. We are told to think about what affects others just as much as it affects ourselves. You know, honestly, if a little inconvenience on our part blesses or encourages or strengthens or helps someone else, shouldn't we be okay with that? This text does not mean that we see ourselves as worthless or our desires are unimportant. That's not what it is saying. But it does tell us to put others at least the same level as we see ourselves. So when we're making decisions, it's not just about what affects me or what benefit I get out of it. We must be mindful of those around us. When I make a decision, how does it affect them? Will it affect them positively or negatively? Will they be hurt or offended by what I say or do, or will they be encouraged and benefit from the situation as well? 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 24 tells us, nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. Imagine if our actions were all based on another person's comfort or well-being. Imagine how much of the hatred would be gone if we thought that way. Imagine how much less resentment there might be in the world when we simply take our eyes off of ourselves for just a moment. Selfishness, if left unchecked, will cause a great deal more pain and suffering than perhaps we even realize if all I ever care about is what benefits me, what's best for me, and what I get out of something, the result of that is I am going to unintentionally start building walls around myself. I won't even realize I'm doing it after a while. It will just naturally take place. I will build up walls of defense, barriers that people aren't allowed to penetrate. And then suddenly it'll be like the switch is flipped. And instead of thinking rationally about something, all of my decisions will be skewed by those walls that I have unintentionally built around me. Thoughts will be less about what is right and more about what I can get out of it, what I can gain from it, what is good for me. In essence, at that point, I have crossed the line from protecting my rights and my well-being and what's good for me to infringing on yours. I have crossed a line at that point, and it all boils down to self-centeredness that we may not have even realized was an issue in our lives. Scripture also talks a little bit about the last days. Now, let me clarify something just quickly this morning. As far as our discussion is concerned this morning, we're talking about the last days, meaning the time frame between Jesus' death and resurrection and his second coming. So we're in essence talking about today, the last days. Scripture gives us a picture of what people in the last days will look like. Let me read it to you. It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. Now, just a quick note about that text before we go any further. There's a part in there that says having a form of godliness. Understand, many scholars believe that to be addressing people who claim to be Christians but don't act like the Christians they are supposed to be, having a form of godliness to them. Unfortunately, these texts, these verses that we just read, it describes society pretty well today, unfortunately. But I gotta ask, did this happen overnight? Or has all of this mess transpired a little bit at a time over time? As people became more and more focused inward, as we looked more and more on our own desires, our selfishness, and less concerned about others, the result of all of that, the result of that kind of living, is an environment where we're willing to step on each other while trying to obtain as much as we can for ourselves. And that is selfishness. The truly sad part, again, is that many times we don't even notice the subtle change as it occurs. We don't notice it until we stop and examine ourselves, or until something happens that makes it incredibly clear to us where we've come from and where we're at. None of us could have prevented any of those disasters I talked about earlier this morning. We couldn't stop the acres in Australia from burning, or the jetliner from crashing, or the earthquake or the floods. None of us have control over that. But what is our mindset regarding it? Do we respond to that or other tragedies with the idea that it's better them than me? Is that the attitude we have? Is our first response, well, I'm glad that didn't happen here? Those are some of the underlying self-centered reactions that we may not even realize that we have. Bring it back home once again to the ongoing struggle we have that affects us here in our community, this whole COVID pandemic. We all have our opinions on how the local, state, and federal government have handled this crisis, and we all want to get back to what we knew as normal just as soon as we possibly can. But what part of our decision in getting back to normal is based on my wants and my desires versus what is best for everybody around me? You know, we read that scripture just a moment ago from 2 Timothy about the condition of people in the last days. And when we read scripture like that, we are outraged by that description of people. How could someone be so selfish, so self-centered, so unloving? How could they be that way? But how many times do we ever stop to ask, am I doing the same kind of things? Am I making the same choices? Am I acting the same way? Is what I'm doing right, or am I more like them than I want to be? More like them than I ever thought I would be. A simple yet probably great example of self-centeredness is this. And hear me out. I bet you we're just about all guilty of this. So hear me out for just a minute this morning. How many of us enjoy the directional signs in the aisles at Walmart or any other store for that matter when we enter it? They are unbelievably inconvenient, especially if I have to go all the way around to get one item at the other end of the aisle that I'm trying to get to. Nobody else pays any attention to them, right? They're constantly going against the grain. But those signs are there to help and protect each other. They're not there for me or for my selfish needs, but they're there for the safety of the greater group of people. We may not like them, but let me ask you this. If we knew that by following them, they would save our lives, how much more important would those simple little signs be to us? Personally, I like it when things go the way that I want them to go. But I have to learn to be more mindful of my decisions and my environment. Are my decisions ones that benefit the greater audience, or are they only what pleases me? Maybe sometimes I need to remember it's not about me, but it's about everyone else. It's about others being brought up to at least the same importance level I have for myself. Maybe sometimes I need to put my desires and my interests aside for just a moment so that I can elevate the interests of others. If we would take just 5 minutes today to openly and honestly ask ourselves a couple of questions, sometime throughout the day today, just take a few minutes to ponder these questions. How many decisions do I make while thinking only about my outcome? How many decisions do I make thinking of how the outcome affects everybody else around me? How many times have I purposely put others' interests ahead of my own? We may not see ourselves as selfish people, but we do need to take a moment to carefully examine ourselves, because it's possible that we're much more selfish than we think we are. If we truly want to please God this year or any other year, if we truly want to grow in our relationship with Him, then we need to ask Him how He sees us. What is it in us that might need to change or be done differently? Are we good examples of Him? Or are we selfishly unaware of others and what is happening all around us? Father God, we come before You this morning. And Lord, I pray for everyone listening to this, myself, starting with myself, Lord, open our eyes to our own conditions. Lord, we voice opinions and we have thoughts about everything that's happening around us, but how often do we examine ourselves? How often do we look at what we contribute to society as a whole or even our own families or personal lives? Lord, I pray that You would open our hearts, our minds, our eyes, and help us to see ourselves as You see us. Lord, are we more consumed with our own selfish personal desires than we are with the needs of others around us? God, help us to examine and be mindful of our answers, of our actions, of our plans, of our thoughts. God, help us to put others first, to love our neighbors as much as we love ourselves. Lord, I pray that You would strengthen and encourage Your people today to truthfully, honestly, openly examine ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.